Amen. Praise the Lord once again for the special music, and what a blessing it always is here at the church. There's just a special spirit in this place, and I look forward to every time we have an opportunity to assemble ourselves. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Jude, as we've gone through some time ago, we started in the book of Genesis, and we started Old Testament. And we started looking at the divisions of the Bible and why we have the divisions, and then why each book is there in that division. And so we started in the very beginning of the Bible. We're coming to the end of it. This is the last of the general epistles. And the general epistles are just practical Christianity. And each message we have given to you on each book of the Bible, I trust has just been able to help you to understand why it's there and the main theme of every book. And I believe that especially in the general epistles, the main theme is just has to do with this practical Christianity, things that we are facing in this New Testament church age. And so Jude is no different. Jude, you say, well, who in the world is Jude? Jude is the brother of James, and the two of them were the earthly brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't hear neither one of them, neither James or Jude, mentioning that they're the brother of Jesus Christ, because they're the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. They no longer acknowledge him as a human, as a man. They do not want to associate with him as a man and their brother. They associate with him as God. And that's another testimony as to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even his brothers at the end, after he ascended, they no longer would identify themselves with being his earthly brothers, but they identified him as being God. And what a blessing that is. So go ahead and stand with me, and you're going to read another book of the Bible tonight. 25 verses, if you're able to stand. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the coming, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers, and walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for what we've already experienced just being back in church tonight. And thank you for each one that took advantage of the opportunity to be here, and they're here tonight. I pray, God, as we look into this book of Jude, that you'd give each one that's here insight and an understanding to that which they need to understand and be able to receive and apply. Pray that you'd empower the preaching once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I have the book of Jude divided into four different points. Now, again, you can when you read a commentary, there's a lot of different commentaries. Every different commentary has maybe a different outline of the words of God. You'll find that in just about every book of the Bible, and it's different with the different commentaries that you might read. You can read it and divide it up yourself if you like, you know. But the main thing is don't change the words. But actually read it and see how God speaks to you through it and make whatever application that is necessary there. But I've got four different points here and briefly going to go through some of these tonight. The first is verses 1 through 4 is somewhat of an introduction, but it's also the reason for the epistle. The reason for the epistle. Verses 5 through 7 is the example of God's judgment upon those who were given the truth and turned away from it. Given the truth, and you turn away from it, then you are more accountable. The judgment of God will be there. Verses 8 through 19 would be the warning concerning false teachers in this church age. And he illustrates the false teachers and what they are among us and all the different things there, verses 8 through 19. And then the last, we'll probably spend a little more time on this because I think this is the most practical. And that's verse 20 to 25 is an exhortation to the New Testament believers on how we should live the rest of our lives looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that we need to do in order to keep ourselves in a position to be used of the Lord. So the four different things. First of all here, the reason for this epistle, if you look at verse 3, the Bible says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, the salvation that all them knew that was only one plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you." This is why I'm writing. You're needing this. I want to exhort you with it. And this is the reason, the practical reason to have the book of Jude, this New Testament, practical Christianity, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. That ye should earnestly contend for the faith. You see, it was what Jesus taught us as God. The faith, the doctrines, the understanding of who God is and who we are. Why the purpose that we have for our lives on planet Earth. what everything is actually leading towards. See, the earth and society is leading toward this rapture of the church. Right now, Jesus has his church, and the church is the only light of the world. The rest of the world is darkness. If you don't have the light of Christ, if you don't have the understanding of the love of God and the purpose for humanity on earth, then you're going to be in darkness, and you're going to do things like pass a law for third-term abortion. Or even after the baby's already born, then you can determine, the doctor and that mother can determine if they want to keep the baby alive or not. Crazy. But it's because of darkness. They don't understand that there is a God. They don't understand that's the life that God has given, and that's murder when you take that life. There's so many other things that the world is going to get complete. The world is dark outside of Christian principles. Now, even the law, some of them, well, because they've been raised to be moral, they've been raised to be good, whatever it might be, and they've even attended churches that want to focus on being good, and that's praise the Lord for that. Anyone that's trying to encourage people to be good and moral and all that, they're not the enemy, but that's not what's most important. It might be what's most important to have a unity on the earth, but that's not what we're looking for. We're having the most important thing is to realize what's going to happen out beyond this earth. This is temporal, that's eternal. And so the idea there is the church has to preach the whole counsel of God. God has preserved his word for us today. We are accountable for what information and knowledge that God has given to us. And this Bible still being here, that helps us to know that it is the word of God. For some 2,000 years, we've had the completion of the Bible, and it's here for us today. And what this New Testament church age needs is insight into the faith or the belief of what this Bible teaches. And so we find here that Jude is encouraging the believers, the saints, not to lose sight of the importance of your faith, the importance of what Jesus Christ brought to us as the New Testament Christianity, the doctrines that we are to live by throughout this New Testament church age. Contend for that. It's important that we understand that God brought it to us by way of Jesus Christ. And we are to contend for what Christ established on earth earnestly. That means seriously important. It's seriously important, the most important thing possibly. Contend. To debate, to dispute, to defend, and preserve. It's important. Jude said, I'm writing this, and this is practical Christianity. It's the last of the general epistles, and we find it all through the teachings of Christ. There's going to be opposition throughout this church age. There's going to be opposition and great opposition against the truths of Christ, the doctrines. And so he says we need to earnestly contend for the faith. There will always be opposition to it. In verse 4, he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of the old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They might even call themselves, sometimes they'll use the word Christian, but there's no Christ in that. And what they are looking to is what they believe and what they're teaching as Christian doctrine. No, the Christian doctrine was given to us by Jesus Christ himself. It's been written down and preserved for us by way of the Bible. And see, it's not just for America, the United States of America, it was for the world because that was part of New Testament Christianity. Take the word and take it into all the world. Because the whole world is going to give an account. The whole world will give an account of the truth that was given to them. Because that's the next point. Verse 5 through 7. Judgment upon those who were given God's truth and turned away from it. God does not want to judge humanity. He wants to give humanity everlasting life. But those who reject him, then it's already been established. There is a judgment predetermined for those who reject truth. So he says here, gives us some illustrations of this. The first one, he says in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance. I want you to remember what illustrations we have in the Bible from this point. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, the deliverance of the Hebrews out of the land of Egypt, God did that. It was no doubt, you go back and you read the account. It was God working through Moses, the miracles, first of all, in the judgment of Egypt, and then the miracle of parting the Red Sea, the miracle of taking care of all God's people through the wilderness, giving them this promised land. God was very much aware. I mean, they were very much aware of the presence of God. Every day they would see in the daytime, they would see the cloud over them, and at night they would see the fire over them, to represent that God was with them. I mean, there's no doubt about it. God made known, this is my purpose, this is my plan. I am here with you, and I have given to you this. This is things that God has given to us. And so he saved the people out of the land of Egypt, but afterward destroyed them that believed not. Even the children of Israel that turned away from their faith in God, God destroyed them in the wilderness. And God destroyed all of the land of Canaan because they had rejected the God of Israel. They had rejected the ways of God, and they were living in ungodliness, all sorts. And God says, I will not allow that to influence my people. And so you need to utterly destroy the sinful influences out of the land that I give you. So they had the truth. But when they would reject the truth and turn from it, then God would judge them. We have the example of Israel. He even gives us an example. This is the DNA of God. Even before he created man, God still did it this way with his creation of angels. And he gives us that in verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, they lost sight of why God created them. Now, we're going to go into a series on understanding angelology, and it's a tremendous series. I think I'm looking forward to that. We'll start doing that on Sunday nights once we get through the book of Revelation, and we're going to get into angelology and understand what God reveals to us about angels, the angels of God and the fallen angels, because we are dealing with both today. They are both very much present on planet Earth today. You can't see them, but that doesn't mean they're not here. You can't see germs. But when you see somebody coughing, hacking, you know they have something you don't want. And you say, I think I'll go this other way. Because you know what's coming out. Even though you might not be able to see it, you know they're there, right? Yeah. Sometimes we need to know what's there, and we say, I think I'm going to go a different way. When you understand the presence of evil spirits, you sense the presence. You say, I'm going to go get away from this. I'm going to go a different way. Yeah. Well, we're going to get into that. But he says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, why prepared for their purpose that God had for them, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains of under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Fallen angels that followed Lucifer, he judged. We have a couple different passages of scripture I want to read to you tonight in regards to that. We'll study this more in detail when we get into angelology. But you see, in Matthew chapter 25, let me just read to you in verse 41. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, talking about those that did not receive him as Savior on earth, depart from me, ye cursed. The judgment of the lost. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepared for, it's been prepared, it's prepared today, but it wasn't prepared for those who failed to receive Jesus Christ. It was actually prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, he hasn't cast them in there yet, and we're going to get into some of that, but it's already been prepared. There is a place of hell today. There's a place of eternal damnation today. wasn't prepared for humanity. God says, no, I'd rather save them. I'd rather give them eternal life. But those who reject it, the truth that I've given to them, will follow Satan into this lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. I believe every bit of the Bible. I believe all the Bible teaches us. Oh, the book of Revelation chapter 12, give you just a little more insight into this. In the book of Revelation in chapter 12 and in verse 9, the Bible says this, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, which deceiveth current the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So where is Satan and where is his angels at today? In the very same world that we are living in. Yeah. But they're going to be judged because they rejected God's purpose for their life. He goes on, Jude, verse 7. He gives us one other illustration here of judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, don't let the world change that. God judged that sin. Yeah. Even as Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. It was all about morality in Sodom and Gomorrah. And going after strange flesh. Can I tell you that is man with man and woman with woman? That's exactly what that is. And set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God says, I want the world to understand this was an example of my judgment upon that sin. They knew the right way and they rejected it. Wow. So from fire, as he destroyed it with fire, to fire. Even though, if you remember, Lot went there. And Lot, even though they had greater influence on Lot than Lot had on them, you see, because they caused Lot to let his children go with them and live in amongst them, they had the testimony, they had the opportunity to believe God and live as God would have them to live. Not only that, but remember when they got taken captive, Abraham went after them and delivered Lot and Sodom. And they had the opportunity to know by the testimony of Abraham that God has a different purpose. God has a standard for morality. God has a way that he wants you to live. And they rejected that. And Abraham said, I'll not take anything from you. I don't want to have any. I did this more for Lot. Don't have time to preach that message. But can I tell you, that's God uses that. And he says, this is a judgment upon those who are given God's truth and turn from it. We have been given God's truth. Whether you receive it or not, you're more accountable and you will be judged by what you do with Jesus Christ. It's already been predetermined that without Christ, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. With Christ, you have everlasting life. Amen. Yeah. Then we have in verses 8 through 19, the warning concerning false teachers. And he gives us illustrations. We don't have time to go into all that, but I want you to read verse 17 and 18 with me. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you, warning concerning false teachers. We have been warned by Jesus. We've been warned by the apostles. The apostles, by the end of the apostolic age, we had the completion of the Bible. We have been warned, which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. We've been warned. Then why would we fall into the trap set by false teachers who want to give us anti-Christ philosophies? Antichrist morality. Yeah, we've been warned. We've been warned. And then he passes, can you see the practicality of the book of Jude? I mean, things that everyday life, we need to know this today. But then as we close out here this evening, in verse 20 down to verse 25, he ends this practical truth and teachings of the book of Jude with an exhortation to New Testament believers. What we are to do in contending for our faith. What we are to do as we are aware of judgment and false teachers. We're aware that people that don't get saved are going to die and go to a devil's hell. That's just judgment. That's been predetermined. And you have Christ? Do you see the lost as dying and going to a devil's hell? I think we need to. Jesus did. And that's why he gave the church this great commission. Go out and preach it. Go out and teach it. People need what you have, and you have to be aware of that. You have something that a lost and dying world needs. If you're saved, you have what your family members have need of, and you need to see those that are being lost being judged with eternal damnation. And you see those coworkers, instead of fighting and fussing over surface problems and situations, you're a saved individual. Be an example. Have the testimony that Christ wants you to have so that they can see something in you that they would desire to know what it would be. Yeah. So as we are aware of contending for the faith and judgment, and we're living in a time where there's great deception and false teachers, this is what we need to do. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, that means you are saved. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to those who know the truth. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves. That's not talking about being puffed up. That's not talking about being arrogant. That's talking about increase your knowledge of God so that you will be better prepared to help people to know the truth. When they throw out a question, well, if God's true, if God's real, then why this? And if this is true, and look at what's going on, and why does God allow good things or bad things to happen to good people? And you can't tell me if God is love, how could God send people to a devil's hell? These are blinded. They don't understand even what the questions are asking. But most of the time, it's the same questions. It's the human nature of man. It's the very same lies that Satan has fed them. The difference is you're there now. You are being presented this question. And God says, you're the light. Whether this person that's now asking you the question, whether they spend eternity in the devil's hell or eternity with God in heaven, could depend upon your answers. Could depend upon you being able to share with them the truth of God and the love of Jesus Christ. It might very well depend. Your family members. Yeah, your children. He says, build up yourself in your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I want to hear it. I want to read it. I want to study it so I can build up my belief, my faith in it. So I might know how to answer every man that asks whatever question. Amen. That's powerful stuff right there. That's practical Christianity. Building up yourselves. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. And as you're doing this, as you do this, praying in the Holy Ghost. This is part of building up our faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying with an awareness of the indwelling of the Spirit of God in you. Romans in chapter 8. Follow with me. I'm not going to be much longer, but this is good practical stuff. In Romans in chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible tells us and teaches us this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Okay, that's good to know. The Spirit that dwells within you can help you. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Every saved person has the Holy Spirit dwelling within you that is actually there to make intercession. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, the Spirit of God inside of us is representative of Jesus Christ. When Jesus ascended, he says, I'll send another comforter that will dwell within us. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, his work in this New Testament church age is to represent Jesus in us. And lead us to have Christ-like thinking. Lead us to do what Christ would have us to do. Lead us in knowing how to pray. Lead us to knowing how we ought to be able to contend for the faith. Be a witness. Be the salt and the light. You have him in you. You need to pray according to God's will, according to God's power. As you're building up yourselves, strengthen your prayer life. Strengthen your awareness of God in you and yield more to his presence. It happens all the time. Whenever I get approached, and sometimes I like to go ahead and make appointments, and I tell people, you know, this is better, prepare you, prepare as me. We'll get together, we prayed about it, everything else. And so you're better prepared to help people if you let them think about really what they want to ask or what kind of needs they have, because something just now happens and their thinking is not clear and they're not going to understand everything. And so it's better to wait just a little while to be able to get that help. Once you settle down, once you understand the facts of the situation, you know what it is that you're asking counsel for. But every now and then there's a situation they come and you have to give them an answer right now. You have to be able to say something to help them. And I don't have what people need. But I know somebody in me that does. And so in my spirit, I start, Lord, help me. God, help me to understand what's going on here and give me wisdom, give me insight. Help me to be able to say the right thing. Don't let me say something foolish. Don't let me do this or that. Lord, help me. I'm doing this the whole time that I am getting ready to speak to somebody that's come to me and has a question, needs help. Now, I've learned a lot of that over the 40 years of ministry and dealing with people and all the different things. But all of us are here to help others. We'll see that in just a minute as well. You need to be able to say the right things. You need to be able to give the right counsel. And the only way we're going to do that is by yielding to him who knows the very mind of God. Who knows exactly what he wants to, how he wants to use you in this person's life. Yeah. Building up ourselves, increase your faith, developing a stronger prayer life. Yeah. Verse 21, go back there with me. The exhortation to believers understanding these things. He says, now keeping yourselves, see, nobody's going to be able to build you up without your consent. It's got to come from you. Keeping yourself, nobody can keep yourself without your consent. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves. Do you work on keeping yourself in love with your spouse? What do you mean, preacher? Well, it's just a good example, a good illustration. Because there's opportunities to separate and to hinder the importance of marriage. So I realize things to say and things not to say. If I want to have a loving relationship with my wife, I learned to know what to do and things not to do if I want to have a loving relationship with my wife. Anybody catch it, getting it? I mean, anybody there? You know your spouse, and you know what leads to negative relations, and you know what leads to positive relations, and you need to choose. If you want to keep yourself in love with your spouse and keep your spouse in love with you, you want to have that atmosphere of love when you get together, then you have to start working on knowing what you should and shouldn't do, things that you should and shouldn't say. Not much different with God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Abstain from all appearance of evil, because it's the influence of Satan or evil that will hinder your love for God. Amen? And it's important that we realize the things that will help draw us closer to God and things that will help separate us from God, and anything that will hinder your love for God, you need to abstain from. You learn what you should do to keep yourself in love with God and things you shouldn't do. You learn places I should go and things I should be associated with that helps me with my love for God, and things that will take away my love for God. And so then you realize that and you do what you need to do to build up and to keep yourselves in the love of God. But only you can do that for you, because you have to keep yourselves. That's what the Bible says. Verse 23. Verse 22 and verse 23 go together. And of some have compassion. Underline, making a difference. This is what we are to do in contending for the faith. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Reach out to those in need. You can make a difference. In a lost person going to hell, you can make a difference. You can. You're keeping yourselves in awareness of God and the love of God. And when that person comes around, you have an opportunity. God opens a door of opportunity for you to witness somebody that's lost on the way to devil's hell. You can make a difference. You can witness to them and actually lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when you lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, can I tell you, you made a difference. They were on their way to a devil's hell because of you. Now, because of what you was able to share with them, and you introduced them to the love of God and to the person of Jesus Christ, and they believed and received, now they're going to heaven. Praise God for that. You made a difference. Backslidden. Blinded to why they're miserable, and you see it, you can make a difference. Discouraged, no hope, you can make a difference. Just what the Bible says. As we are aware of judgment and false teachers, we can make a difference. Verse 25, 24 and 25, not, we're done here. But 24 says, and now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He says he's going to keep you from falling. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to the present you, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Well done, thy good and faithful servant, if you will. to the only wise God, our Savior. He's talking about God now. Again, Jesus' brother, earthly brother, sees him not as his brother, sees him as God. He says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. He is always looking to praise and glorify God. That's what we can do. I can tell you, if you're looking, if you would keep yourself in this mental attitude of I am going to praise and glorify God, it'll change your disposition. It'll make a difference not only in others' lives, it'll make a difference in your life. Are we contending for our faith? Are we an influence? Are we the influence that God wants us to be on planet Earth? Practical Christianity teaches us we have what the world needs. We need to convince ourselves we do, first of all, and then be used of God to convince others. We need to contend for the faith. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Great book, great epistle that we have, the Epistle of Jude. So much there for us. The exhortation that Jude gives the believers there at the end, I think we ought to, we ought to learn that. Do those things. Invitations and opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. In a minute, we're going to give an invitation song. God spoke to you and there's something, a decision that you need to make. Tonight would be a good night to make it. Don't put it off any longer. Father, we bow before you. I love you, Lord. Thank you for the influence of the Word of God, the Bible. We come to church. We can open it up, read it, study it, hear it preached. Tonight, Father, I believe that I have presented this book of Jude exactly the way that you would have me to and brought out the highlights that we have need of. I pray for all that have received it, God, that it would strengthen us, would give us more of a purpose, allow us to be used in the hand of an almighty God, to be a help and a blessing to others. Bless now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.